From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to the program. We have a great show lined up today. I'll be joined shortly by a special guest from out in Washington, D.C. to talk about important updates on family, freedom, and life issues from our nation's capital, as well as providing insights into our very own congressional district race here in Omaha. And how much money do you think was spent lobbying the Nebraska legislature this year? Stick around and we'll have the answer. But first, some huge pro-life news this week. The state of Iowa, our neighbors, passed a fetal heartbeat bill which will ban most abortions after 6 weeks. Under this new law, once a fetal heartbeat is detected, abortion would be illegal. Quite simply, this is a law that reflects the truth, the very fundamental basic truth about the unborn, that they are human. They are human beings. They have a heartbeat, and it's a baby. And abortion ends the life of that baby. Now, this law is almost certainly headed to court. And we also know that 2 years ago, a federal appeals court struck down a similar law that was approved in Arkansas and North Dakota. So it remains unclear and likely doubtful that this law will stick. But as a representative from the Iowa legislature said, a baby has become something we can throw away. This bill says it's time to change the way we think about unborn life. Our very own governor, Governor Pete Ricketts, praised this move and law passing in Iowa, saying it's great to see states moving forward with innovative pro-life initiatives such as the heartbeat bill. I would love to see something similar in Nebraska. I will continue to work with our pro-life groups to bring forward new initiatives to protect our most vulnerable Nebraskans. Now, this year, of course, Nebraska, for the first time, passed a budget with pro-life language on the Title X program to require separation of funds on clinics who perform abortions so that no abortion provider is getting Title X money. This protects the integrity of the program and, most importantly, assures hardworking Nebraska taxpayers that their dollars are not going to support the abortion industry. And Nebraska Family Alliance also helped pass a really unique special law, first one like it in the country, to create an official state-issued commemorative birth certificate recognizing unborn children who are miscarried before 20 weeks gestation. Now, that law doesn't have a legal effect such as the law that just passed in Iowa would, but it does start to change the narrative, and it recognizes their existence. That their lives matter, and that the state is recognizing their existence and that they are a baby, and that is a huge, huge deal. And as a pro-life organization in Nebraska, we are looking actively at what we can get done next year in Nebraska to continue advancing the pro-life movement, and a lot of that will hinge on what happens with our elections. And one of the most important House races in the entire country will be happening right here in Nebraska with the Omaha congressional race between incumbent Don Bacon and most likely Brad Ashford, but we'll see. He, of course, has to get through the primary and beat Kara Eastman. They've been having debates and duking it out, trying to woo voters. But this, of course, is a seat that Brad Ashford used to have before he was defeated last election by Congressman Don Bacon. And what I wanted to focus on in today's show was something that hasn't gotten a lot of attention, but I saw it come up on my Twitter feed last week, actually. Congressman Bacon was attacked for having a voting record that suggests he believes unborn babies who can feel pain shouldn't be torn apart in the womb, and that your hard-earned taxpayer money shouldn't go to fund abortion, and that your First Amendment freedoms to live and work according to your beliefs, the foundational principle of religious freedom, is worth protecting and defending. That's right. This past week, Omaha Congressman Don Bacon was attacked by his likely general election challenger, former Congressman Brad Ashford, for having a 100% rating from the Family Research Council. Ashford said on Twitter, "Don Bacon highlights his 100% rating from far-right anti-LGBTQ group Family Research Council. I assure you that in Nebraska District 2, we know that love is love." Brad Ashford's wife, who is active in the campaign, also sent out a tweet calling the Family Research Council a hate group. I'm pleased to be joined now by David Christensen, Family Research Council's Vice President for Government Affairs, overseeing work on life, marriage, religious freedom, and family issues. David, thanks for being with us on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Nate.
First of all, David, let me just ask you, what is your initial reaction to this attack on Congressman Bacon, who is pro-life and pro-family, for having a high score, 100%, from the Family Research Council?
Well, we really appreciate members of Congress who vote 100% on FRC Action's scorecard. I can tell you that what that means is he's voted to prevent taxpayer funding of abortion, voted to repeal and replace Obamacare, which has cost people a lot more in terms of their health insurance and limited their options in many states, voted for tax reform, increased child tax credit, voted to stop federal funding for transgender military personnel sex change operations in the military, a policy under President Obama we thought was pretty radical, and voted to protect 20-week pain-capable unborn children, repeal IPAB. You know, these are votes that I think a lot of pro-life, pro-family conservatives around the country support. So, we were really pleased to see that Congressman Bacon scored 100%. Shows that he cares about faith, family, and freedom, and, cares about the human dignity of all people. It's unfortunate that he's being attacked for that.
Well, that's what it seems to me. And, of course, Nebraska Family Alliance, we are an allied partner with Family Research Council. We share a similar mission and vision, creating a culture in which all human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. And so, we're also a 501c3, so we don't tell people how to vote. But we do talk about the issues and equip citizens to be engaged and to make informed decisions. And it sounds like those values of faith, family, and freedom should be the ones that folks are looking for in candidates.
No, I think that's true. I mean, people want to know what their representatives, where they stand on important issues. You know, in this case, some of the hot button issues really over the last 8 years or so relate to, healthcare and Obamacare. Should the government try to create a one-size-fits-all and tell states and individuals what kind of insurance they have and put insurance companies and the government in the place of the doctor-patient relationship or not? And, do we believe that all human life is valued and that all human life is deserving respect from the unborn child to the elderly? I mean, these are the kinds of issues that we care about. You know, tax reform, letting people keep more of their own money, trying to incentivize, make it easier on working moms and dads and families by doubling the child tax credit. You know, those are things that Don Bacon has supported. In contrast, Congressman Brad Ashford. On our scorecard, when he was in Congress for 2 years, he voted against a bill to protect pain-capable children when we know babies feel excruciating pain, starting around 20 weeks of development. He voted to fund Planned Parenthood. He even voted against a bill that protects a baby that is born alive after a botched abortion. This is unfortunately something that we've seen from Planned Parenthood videos. It may seem like that this is something they've done. We've had nurses testify that, The baby didn't, the abortion didn't occur. The baby's born alive. They just let the baby die. A bill to ban that, the Born Alive Survivors Protection Act. He voted against that. I mean, this is astonishing. This is about infanticide. You've got, marijuana. He's voted for, marijuana, easing the federal restrictions on marijuana. And he's very strongly supportive of Obamacare. He's opposed to D.C. school choice, which even Senator Feinstein, people in Nebraska may not know, Senator Dianne Feinstein from the great state of California, fairly liberal, she supports D.C. school choice programs. He voted against that. I can go on and on. Bottom line is, he even, I think, voted against a religious liberty amendment in the context of federal contracting. So, what are his priorities versus Congressman Bacon's? People need to decide what they want to do and how they view these positions, but it shows, I think, a pretty strong dichotomy between where the people stand on the issues.
Wow. Yeah, David, I'm glad to have you on to spell out all that on the issues and those votes in Congress, because clearly there is some very substantial differences between these candidates. And David, is this a growing trend or increase in these types of attacks against pro-life and family values or organizations like Family Research Council and Nebraska Family Alliance for standing up for these issues?
Yeah, I think there is, and I think we're called as Christians to love our neighbors and even love our enemies, and I think we work hard in public policy to try to ensure that like I said, unborn children and all people have fundamental human rights. We don't think people should necessarily get special privileges because of, say, their sexual behavior or their preferred sexual behavior and that type of thing. We think everybody deserves respect. We don't think people should be bullied, but we think all people should be protected under the law. So, because of that stance, sometimes we're accused of being a hate group, and there's some very powerful, well-financed liberal organizations who have tried to demonize conservatives like FRC, a hate group. I can tell you that we've got somebody here who, one of my colleagues who works in our building here, was shot in the arm a few years ago when somebody came into the FRC's building with a gun and ended up shooting one of my colleagues. He was able to wrestle the guy down. He's been convicted of domestic terrorism in the District of Columbia. That's hate against us. We don't engage in that, and we certainly don't support that kind of behavior. We want to disagree and disagree respectfully. It's part of our First Amendment free speech rights. It's real unfortunate when people disagree with our position on life or position on religious liberty or family values and the dignity of all human, and then turn around and want to try to demonize. That's really unfair.
I think you're absolutely right. And how do you think that the candidates and organizations should be responding to these attacks when they're falsely labeled as being a hate group for simply adhering to their sincerely held religious beliefs or convictions about marriage and human life?
I think there's you need to call it out and do so in a respectful and caring way. But I think you can't just shy away and keep quiet. I think some people are a little bit afraid to be, called names and stuff. And I think you have to stand up for what you believe to be true and do so in a respectful way. So, we think unborn children, including children that are born, but as a result of a botched abortion, deserve the protection of the federal government. And yet, this former congressman voted against that. I mean, that's, that's a fact. That's not being mean or whatnot, but that's how Congressman Ashford voted. If he wants Obamacare, if he wants massive increase in funding in the context of healthcare and government control and government regulation over the health insurance industry, letting people, I should say, removing more options from people, that's his position. He needs to own it. But just because we disagree doesn't mean that, we believe in any kind of violence at all. We just disagree. And that's part of the democratic process, to get people to be informed about issues so that they can go vote for the representatives. that's one of the great things about this country, is we should be able to agree to disagree and do so, in a respectful manner.
Well, it seems that more and more it's becoming increasingly difficult for, I think, people to agree, especially when they find themselves on opposite sides of the political aisle. But when we're talking about issues like religious freedom and human dignity, I mean, shouldn't these be issues that can unite people on common ground?
And I do think, I do think that there's a lot of people who at first may think that there's a strong disagreement over issues, for instance. But when you talk to folks, even at the grassroots issues where there might be some disagreement, you usually can find some sort of common ground. I do think in the political context, things tend to get polarized a lot more. Like I said, we've been attacked by organizations, for being a hate group. When we support pregnancy care centers, we support helping pregnant moms who find themselves in difficult positions. We are interested in the idea that all people are, have human dignity, and that in this country, it shouldn't be based on your age, race, or your sex or whatnot. That, equality is something that this country is supposed to view all people equally. That's something we support, and that comes from a religious belief. So don't threaten people's religious beliefs, because you're going to undermine the very kind of peaceful coexistence that I think religious freedom in this country has helped foster.
David, you serve as Vice President for Government Affairs with the Family Research Council. How do you and how should we all encourage elected officials to be strong and courageous on these challenging issues?
Well, I think one of the first things to do is to contact your members of Congress or your state legislators. They need to hear from you. There's a lot of people who get frustrated, maybe throw in the towel, don't call, don't email. I think that's important. Do so respectfully. I used to work for a congressman, and sometimes we took some nasty calls from people. But, realizing that, hey, these are our representatives. They work for you. You got to let them know what you think. If you want them to stand firm on, pro-life issues, religious liberty issues, you've got to let them know. Encourage them. I think it's important to pray for our leaders, whether we agree with them or disagree with them. I think that's important as well. So I would recommend people engage, show up at town hall meetings when they're available, go to the district office, get to know the staff. I think it's really important for our people in our country to be engaged in the political process and have a civil discourse, not shy away just out of maybe, understandable frustration.
Right. And we know one thing is for certain. Elections have consequences, as we've seen comparing and contrasting the candidates for Omaha's congressional race. David, you're out in Washington, D.C. Can you tell our listeners just how big the shift has been on these life, family, and religious freedom issues between the past and current presidential administrations?
Oh, it's dramatic. It's absolutely dramatic. Congress last year passed what's called a disapproval resolution. They basically were able to rescind an Obama-era regulation that prevented states from defunding abortion providers in Title X. I believe Nebraska just was able to do that because Congress came in a special regulatory bill that only needed 51 votes in the Senate. They passed it in the House. The Senate then passed it. Vice President Pence broke the tie. And now states like Nebraska can remove abortion providers from a federally funded Title X program. So, just recently, the National Day of Prayer, President Trump created another executive order establishing the Office of Faith-Based Initiatives, redesigning it. It did exist under President Obama and President Bush, but I think this is a more robust office that's going to help coordinate among the government entities. Look at the votes look at the Supreme Court. Right, Justice Gorsuch would not be on the Supreme Court to replace Justice Scalia, who passed away, if it hadn't been as a result of the elections. Elections matter. Presumably, Justice Gorsuch is going to be on the Supreme Court for a long time. Cases regarding life, cases regarding property, cases regarding health care, tax law, religious liberty case with the Jack Phillips case, whether the government can punish people who refuse to participate in a same-sex wedding. These are important decisions that are going to have long-term consequences, but that wouldn't exist if it hadn't been for the recent election in 2016. Elections do matter.
We really have seen tremendous change and seen a lot of important pro-life and religious freedom victories. David, what's the next big victory that you are advocating for or hoping we might see over this next year?
Well, we are, it's an election year, and so sometimes members want to put their head down a little bit, and we're working on encourage House and Senate leadership on some key issues. We continue to see Senate try to plow through good justices and nominees for circuit court, district courts. We're working for the Senate, encouraging the Senate to have a vote on the Born Alive bill that I mentioned. The House passed it. We would like to see the House pass or move at least and have hearings in committee on a dismemberment abortion ban to stop the process, the procedure of dismembering an unborn child. This is kind of a corollary to the partial birth abortion ban that passed and became law in the early 2000s. And we want to see some religious freedom protections, the Child Welfare Provider Inclusion Act. We're seeing states pass laws to effectively push faith-based adoption and foster care organizations out of those services. We've seen it in Illinois, District of Columbia, Vermont, Philadelphia, San Francisco. We don't think the federal government, which does fund adoption and foster care programs, should be punishing faith-based entities like Catholic Charities or Bethany Christian Services. That harms families. That harms kids who want to be adopted, families who want to go to a trusted adoption provider. You know, this is about kids. So that's a bill that we're working on, encouraging to see some movement in the House. But we'll see. There's a lot to do. I know there's going to be some welfare reform bills possibly this year. And, we're also pushing really hard on Health and Human Services to get rid of the Title 10 family planning regulations from the Clinton era, which basically makes sure that Planned Parenthood gets about $60 million a year. So, there's a lot going on. Those are some of the key things that we're working on. So we'll continue to keep in touch with you.
Well, just listening to you talk about that, I mean, these are the issues that really matter and that people really care about. And that's why we do this show, to connect people and inform them on the issues, because these are the issues that are going to shape our country and our culture. And we're glad to have Family Research Council doing great work in D.C. So, David, my last question for you all while I have you here, we do have a primary election coming up, and we've got these big issues on the table and pending in Congress. What kind of difference does it make when values voters, people who care about these foundational issues, do their homework on candidates and vote for the people who are going to protect and uphold the Constitution and our Judeo-Christian values?
Oh, I think it's absolutely essential. I mean, if our side is silent, the other side's not. And if our side doesn't go to vote, the other side, they will vote. And so it's really important to become informed, and it's important to be active and to vote. Sometimes in the primary, people don't pay as much attention, but I think it is important to look at who the candidates are, who's going to reflect your values, and, engage.
David Christensen, Vice President for Government Affairs with the Family Research Council. David, I want to thank you for being on the show today and giving us some and really important insight into Omaha's congressional race as well as things going on in D.C. We appreciate all that you're doing with Family Research Council.
Hey, thanks, Nate. I so much appreciate all you're doing.
For more information on how you can join the movement to advance family, freedom, and life, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. Your support is absolutely vital. And if you want a picture of how important your support is, to answer the question posed at the beginning of the show, how much money was spent lobbying your representatives in the Nebraska legislature this past year? A record $17.4 million. That's nearly $20 million spent to lobby 49 people. That's a lot of power, a lot of money, a lot of influence. And the question that we need to ask is how much of that went towards supporting and defending the values and the issues that you care about. That's what we strive to do every day at Nebraska Family Alliance, to create a state and nation where God is honored, life is cherished and protected, religious liberty is celebrated, and marriages and families thrive. We'll be back with more next week. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.